It is wonderful to see all of you today, and I tell you what, students, I must owe you an apology. I've been preparing our board of trustees who are here today for their spring board meeting. I've been telling them, you know, next week is spring break, and this is Friday right before spring break, and I don't know how many students will be here, but it's great for all of you that are here. We appreciate that, and I'm certain most of you already have your bags packed and you're ready to head out of town, but we're glad you're here with us to worship with us today. And you know what I think I'm going to do for those of you that are here? A free chapel skip. How about that? How many of you, I know there are a few that are in the audience that are headed on mission trips even later this afternoon. We have about 50 that are headed out in spring break teams, a team that's gone to Honduras, one to Trinidad. I'm not sure where all they're going. But are there some of team members that are still here that have not left yet that would stand? Okay, great. I'd like for you to remain standing, and we're going to pray a prayer over you. I might even ask the Board of Trustees if you would stand and just kind of turn toward them in a way of praying along with us in your heart a prayer of consecration over our students as they head out next week. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Jesus, we thank you for this great privilege that's ours to be gathered here together in this place and this time, and for the opportunities of this day and this age. And I thank you for our students, for those that are here, those that were unable to be here, those that are already traveling. And I just thank you, Lord, for their heart to serve you in a needy and waiting world. And Lord, we desire for them to be ready. So I pray over them as they're headed into their spring break trips, particularly for those that are going on the mission trips, that you would provide their every need. I pray that you would give them energy and strength and keep them well, keep them healthy, protect them from any illness, protect them from any danger. And Lord, I pray that their hearts will be so full of you that you will spill over out and among those that they will be ministering to. And so give them an increased capacity to hold your love and to hold your love for others. And so for every assignment that they have, for their singing and speaking and teaching and working with young people, we just ask that you would be their words, that you would be their eyes and their ears and their hands and their feet. And so we do commission them and consecrate them to you today for your purpose. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And thank you. Excuse me. We have the privilege today, as I've already referred to, having our Board of Trustees with us, and they come from literally all around the country to be with us. They come because they love you, they come because they love the Lord, and they want to help Asbury University accomplish its mission. And so they are here as volunteers, but they bring an enormous amount of wisdom, an enormous amount of experience, and so we have great opportunity to interact with them for several days while they're here on campus. It's the Board of Trustees' responsibility to set policy and to help set direction for the university and where we're headed. And so we really value you all and some spouses that are able to be with us today. So thank you. And we have the privilege of having three of our trustees that will be a part of a panel, and I'm going to be quiet very soon and ask them to speak. But we're going to have a panel, and we'll be speaking about God's call and challenge upon us to follow his mandate, in which he says we're to be salt and light in the world. And he says that we are to be in the world, but not of it. And Jesus tells us at another time that we are to be as wise as serpents, to be as innocent as doves at the same time. And so we have three individuals here that are going to try to help us unpack that a bit in terms of what it looks like in their own lives. Deb Weidenhammer is the founder, CEO of Auction Systems in Phoenix, Arizona. Hal Heiner is a real estate developer in Louisville, and he works very much in public advocacy on behalf of education. And he's been involved, served as a council person in Louisville, and so he's been involved in public service, and so he brings great experience to us as an entrepreneur. And Rich Wright is vice president with Yum Brands, which is a corporation that's in the Fortune 500. In fact, I think they're probably in the Fortune 200, so in one of the larger corporations of our nation and world. So they will have great experience to share with us today. So I'm going to begin by just asking a question to get them started, and then we're going to just allow their ideas and wisdom to flow as it will. So let me begin with this question just to get our conversation going, and for Deb, Hal, and Rich, from your experience, what suggestions do you have for our students, and what suggestions do you have for us as Christians in really living this out to be as wise as a serpent but as innocent as a dove? What's that look like in real life, and how do you experience trying to bring those two together?
Well, I guess I'll start. I'm very impressed, again, as Sandy said, that so many of you are here. I remember when I was going on spring break, I don't think I was in chapel, so congratulations. I sat in seat H10 back there and probably was not here, but many of you are serving around the world during spring break, and God be with you. And, you know, little did I know in 1989 I'd be sitting in this stage with two very esteemed individuals and a terrific president, Dr. Sandy Gray, not having any idea what the Lord would have me to do. I'm sure many of you are sitting in this auditorium today wondering, praying, seeking what the Lord would have you do. Little did I know that 25 years later, I would be selling chicken, tacos, and pizza all around the world and eating a little bit of it on the way. But let me just say, I was praying this morning and just thinking about what the Lord would have me say to this group. And it really would be nothing that I would say. I can remember many things sitting in this hallowed hall. And this is a truly blessed place. Many of you, I'm sure, will return here when you graduate and do like I do and sit in this auditorium silent, listening to the Lord. But I can remember two things that came from this pulpit. Many things, but two in particular. I remember John Oswalt saying from this very pulpit. John Oswalt was the president at Asbury for quite some time. He said, if you want to be a bridge to Christ, you have to sometimes be willing to be walked over. And that was very impactful. And then I also remember Don Winslow, who was my first accounting professor, and candidly the reason that I'm actually in the profession I am today, which is running the international division of finance for Yum Restaurants International. You know, he started a session. One of the things I so appreciated about Asbury is the opportunity to pray and to just worship in class before then taking tests and then having to really think I needed that prayer. But Dr. Winslow always talked about Colossians 3:23, which is, you know, whatever you do, do it with fervor, for you're doing it for the Lord and for not men. So to answer your question, Sandy, the thing that I've tried to bring into work every day, and I never really thought about it when I was sitting in your chairs, is you've got to be the best. And people, if you're the best and if you are of Him, they will see Him through you, and they will want to be more like Him. So my best advice for the students that are sitting in this auditorium and for all of us is to give Him our very best. And that's the best piece of advice I would have.
Well, it's also it's great to be here with you this morning. You know, I sit here this morning, I'm 61 years old, and just constantly amazed at the brevity of life here on earth. for those of you that have seen, you know, some science fiction movies like Star Wars or whatever, you know how when they go into warp speed, you know, all of a sudden the stars that were outside your spaceship or something, all of a sudden just fly by. And that's been sort of my experience in life. You know, our teaching pastor wrote a book called Not a Fan and talked about the difference between being a fan, admirer of Jesus, and a follower of Jesus. But he said to be a follower of Jesus means to live a life interrupted so that the warp speed has to stop. And one of the ways he said to maybe measure if you're living a life interrupted is how many names do you know? How many names of those around you in your neighborhood, school, church? You know, we live in a really broken world. I mean, what, marriage success rate is 50% maybe, something like that. Abortion rate, maybe a third. Babies that all kinds of pain involved in those kind of decisions and families broken apart. I mean, there are hurting people literally all around you. So one question is, how many names do you know? Even though you might be a physician, you know, an accountant, an engineer like I was, so those are pretty technical sort of professions, but there are hurting people you're working alongside that you come in touch with all the time. And I suggest one other item. As you make decisions in life, whether to turn off warp speed for a little bit and actually engage like Jesus did when somebody, you know, pulled on his robe or something and he stopped, even though he could have spoke to a thousands, but he stopped. Hmm. You know, when you make those kind of decisions or you're trying to decide where to go in life, I'd suggest one other idea. And that is, think about life from an eternal perspective. And I know we've all been told that, but maybe to bring it down a little bit is think about life the morning when you wake up and you're 80 years old. And I know that's impossible. You know, that's for most, that's hard to think about. But think about that morning when you wake up at 80 and you look back at life on what you were involved in and the decisions you made, whether it's in a boardroom or an office or in ministry. And think back at the life. And so many people, when they wake up on that morning when they're 80, it's like, wow, I wish I'd spent more time there. You know, I wish I'd spent more time with the children. I wish I'd spent more time with the poor. I wish I'd done this. I wish I'd done that. So as you make decisions, try to imagine you're 80 and looking back on life and that you put your emphasis in the areas that ultimately are the most important and the most important to Jesus.
So, well, of course, I want to know if the chapel skip is retroactive. I needed one of those.
No, the chapel skip will be from coming back after spring break through the rest of the semester.
Okay. All right.
It's forward.
Okay, it's forward. Good. You know, I think for those of us that are in the field of business and that are Christians, the one thing that I can say about being in the world is it's just easier to not be apologetic and just have it be part of who you are. And so I don't start things out by apologizing for being a Christian. It's just part of the way I do business. It's part of the negotiations that I engage in. And especially doing business in China, as I lived there half the year, I was really concerned about how would I be a Christian in China in business and be able to do that. And so what I have found is I just openly say, you know, I believe in Jesus Christ, and because of that, I don't do this. And I've actually become known for that in a way that I wasn't really expecting. And certainly it's interesting in China to be known as a Christian. I just find just doing it as part of who you are, not trying to kind of weave in and out of it and figure it out is the easiest way to do it. But it also doesn't mean that I stop in the middle of a room and start praying either. So I think it's just knowing how to deal with the audience that you're working with and what's appropriate and what isn't appropriate in a professional circumstance.
So what would be an example? You've just described in China and being surprised. Give an example of that.
Well, in China, if you actually pay all your taxes and stamp permits and all of that, we know this too, that it would be 115% of your profit if you were to pay all the taxes that could be levied against you.
Now, how for an engineer in your mind's calculating this to pay 115% of profit?
So I have many interesting conversations with people about, you know, what I believe, you know, pay unto Caesar what is Caesar's, but how does that work? And so this has actually opened up many conversations for me to actually talk about my life as a Christian. And so
if I could actually add on to that a little bit, because I look out in this audience, and what Hal said is so true. 1989 was but a breath ago when I was sitting right over there thinking, what in the world is the Lord going to do with me? I'm here to tell every one of you, 25 years seems, I remember when I was 10 years old and I thought, when the year 2000 comes, I'll be 32. How cool will that be? I'm now 46 and it's not very cool. Having said that, it is, you know, what Hal said and what Deb has said is so true. It is all about the journey. And, you know, my family is here, my wife and Nathan, my son, and my father-in-law, Roy Lauder and Sue. I've made lots of mistakes. The one thing I would tell you as a Christian is that you can't feel guilty for your mistakes. You must be forgiven. And I meet so many people in China or in India. I'm very fortunate to have traveled the world and with Yum. At some points, I'll say that's misfortunate because I am away from those that I love so much. But it's just so interesting, so many conversations that you have with people who say, so what is it that you believe? And so the thing I would leave each of you with in that conversation is, how would you answer that? What is it you believe? It's a very deep and interesting question, especially when you're sitting across the table having dinner with somebody in Delhi, India, who is wearing a necklace and showing my naivety. I asked her what the necklace was, and she said it was her God. That is a very interesting conversation. And you never know. That happened to be over KFC chicken, interestingly enough. It was good. I'd recommend it. Cool Ranch Tacos came out yesterday. Go get some. But in all sincerity, when you are looking at somebody who works for us in our company and still is with our company and is very, very successful, and you're looking at her in her eyes and she says, this is my God. I'm here to tell you that each and every one of you at some point in your lives will have an opportunity to witness to people who don't have Jesus. Take that opportunity.
I loved what Rich led off with about being excellent in whatever your profession is, because the world understands excellence. Mm-hmm. And they don't necessarily understand Christianity, but they understand excellence. Right. So I'd suggest whatever your profession is, maybe not the most important, but be excellent at it. Then all of a sudden, the world kind of, you know, your coworkers, managers, business owners, kind of, you get elevated somewhat as sort of a person of importance in the company they want to see stay around. And I'll tell you, so many companies, just if they don't understand truth, decision making is tortured. You know, the first company I worked for right out of school, their standard for, and they didn't publicize this, but a successful engineering company. But their standard for doing what was right was, can we get caught? Will we get caught? And I, you know, I just can't believe it. But if you don't understand absolute truth, I mean, what's your basis for making decisions? Well, maybe if you're not a Christian, you say, well, that probably isn't right. But that was the majority owner's standard was, you know, would we get caught? I stayed there a long time. I wonder now why. But anyway, stayed there a dozen years. Anyway, then went with a larger company, switched to real estate development to a regional company. And they had a different standard in the boardroom. As I rose through the ranks in that company, their standard was, is it legal? Not is it ethical? And you know, there's one interesting, every year we'd have the kickoff for the year. And our president said, you know what, we ought to use Lou Holtz's deal, do what's right, as our company motto. Well, it wasn't a day or two after that that our chairman told top leadership staff what that really meant was, do what's right for the company. And you know, with a culture like that, it's we really need Christians in business. And every day you can see in the paper just difficulty in ethics. And one of the reasons I'm excited that there is a business school here at Asbury.
Well, that's so true. I think being excellent is so important, and especially if you want to take some liberties with your Christianity, it's important to be excellent so any employer will overlook anything because of your work standard and what you can produce. And so I think that oftentimes when we go to work and the corporate world, and that's where I started out, was in the corporate world, it can be challenging to figure out how to actually live within the parameters of what you believe, especially when your leadership is telling you something completely different, and those start conversations and decisions about whether you can even stay working for a company like that, or whether you stay and you are that light that shines in that company. And so I think that's a really a great place to look at is, you know, what can you bring to the world that sets you apart, not just because you're a Christian, but because what you actually offer to the marketplace. And the truth of the matter is, in order to be successful in the business world, you must offer something to the marketplace, and it has to be a value. And so I think that's important to consider as you go into the world.
And I wanted to add, you know, while you're, you know, being excellent or pursuing excellence in business, you have people all around you that a high percentage are hurting for one reason or another. And if you exhibit a joy, they will be attracted. They will be attracted to that with questions. You know, where, for one thing, where does it come from? Or just share their troubles. You know, a couple Sundays ago, a preacher was talking about whose responsibility is it here, you know, that these empty seats be filled in the church. And he talked about a poll, and he said, well, for people first coming to church, did a little poll on why they came. And 5% said it was because of a crusade, and then maybe another 5% for special events, and 6% was because they, you know, met the preacher, and the preacher, you know, through whatever, prison ministry, whatever, you know, invited them to come to church. But 79% of the people in this poll that first came to church came as a result of a neighbor or coworker inviting them to church. So regardless of your profession, obviously you want to be excellent in your profession, but the opportunities to know names, to connect with people, to understand what's going on in their life, and show them Christ is there on a daily basis.
If I might shift gears a bit and talk to the students a bit about their opportunities in what you all are involved in a lot of broad worlds. And so what are opportunities that are there, and to what extent is it important for them to really be aware of what's happening in our world? We are so overwhelmed and inundated with news and trying to keep up with what's happening. And so what advice would you have for them in terms of the importance of being good students of the world and continuing to keep the learning and awareness going? And how does that impact their ability to be excellent?
Well, I guess I could take that. You know, I think that when it comes to what's going on in the world, and especially as you begin to approach your career, the truth of the matter is you are competing with the best of the best from around the world now. And that is just what the marketplace is. And so many people want the job that you want. And I think being aware of what is happening in the world, because it affects us every day. In business, what happens in the world is so much a part of what we do. I will tell you this, it might not be too encouraging. I probably spend more time studying now than I did when I was in college, just to keep up with what's going on. So I think it's actually crucial. And finding sources where you can get trusted information quickly is also really important, too, because trying to speed that up so you can continue to do your work but also know what's going on in the world is important.
Are there journalism majors in here? Would you, anybody just raise your hand if you consider yourself a writer? You know, I am thankful for you. And even though the world's moving away from newspapers, good, clear writing and writing with a Christian ethical basis is more important than ever. And, you know, we're sort of the video generation. But I can tell you, spent 8 years on the council and now an advocate in Frankfurt for inner city schools. But the written word, I think, is still more powerful than video. And video, you get, you know, sort of that initial bang, but the written word lasts. And, you know, simple things like whatever your vocation, writing, you know, letters to the editor or responding on blogs, or it's amazing how those items just last month after month and are actually impactful. So for those of you that have the gift of writing, I'd encourage, regardless of your profession, I'd encourage you to use that gift in the public sphere. Secondly, on the source of your information on what's going on in the world, I mean, the slant is unbelievable. I live in Louisville, Kentucky, and we have a newspaper that you know, is a little left of San Francisco. I mean, it is, you know, like the Religious Liberty Bill going through Frankfurt right now. They, you know, portrayed in a cartoon as a Trojan horse, you know, that's really going to bring religious oppression, you know, on people or whatever. Anyway, but if that's all the information you get, believe me, you're only getting, you know, one side. But for international news, you know, it's certainly, you know, magazines like World Magazine and other that have quality writing that really give a well-rounded view is going to be important, you know, as you build your database in your mind of what's going on in the world. And lastly, I'd suggest you engage in government. And a lot of churches fight about that. You know, should we really be engaged in government or not engaged in government? You know, that's part of the government's part of the world. You know, you should get engaged in church, but maybe not government. But I think for churches that feel that way, they're missing something. And that is that you know, God set up three institutions. And government is one, you know, the church and marriage. But he also set up government, you know, to do good for the people. And there's a lot of hurting people. And also punish the wrongdoer. So I'd encourage you, if you feel called, and I got that, I feel like I got that call. When we went to merge government in Louisville, and all of a sudden found myself going door to door 4 nights a week after work and all day Saturday, you know, walking up to the door, you know, hi, I'm Hal Heiner. You know, I want to be your councilman. But it's weird, especially for an engineer, I'll tell you. But you know what? In the first 2 years on the council, a group of us, all four Christians on the council, we were able to pass an adult entertainment ordinance that stopped the growth of adult entertainment in Louisville. We were becoming a mecca in Louisville. People were traveling 90 miles, commuting 90 miles per day to work in the adult entertainment industry in Louisville. Mm-hmm. We were able to pass a law that says, you know what, there's no more new ones unless it's, you know, next to the coal unloading facility or the concrete plant. And you know what, there's no alcohol consumption. And you know what, you can't go to 4 o'clock in the morning. And you know what, there can't be any physical contact. And just slowed down an industry that just ravages both men and women. So you really can have an impact on the suffering that people go through in society.
You know, the thing that I would say, that I'm just going to echo what they said, but I think it's pretty simple when you get down to it, is you have to find the truth. You know, so I'll give you, you know, one example, and I'm not going to mention the product launch, but when I was involved in KFC years ago, I'm now actually with our international division, but in the U.S. we were developing a product. And all of our consumer research said it was a bad idea, really. I mean, it was a really bad idea. And I won't mention the person's name, but our chief marketing officer at the time thought it was a really good idea because he liked it. And he's a great guy. He's a very smart guy. He's a president of another organization, you know, 1,000 miles from here now, so he's doing just fine. But he really liked it. And I still remember I was the finance guy trying to say this is really a crazy idea and look at the data, look at the data, look at the data. And I still remember being in the test kitchen where all the decisions actually get made, I guess. And I'm the only guy in the room saying, look at the data, look at the data, look at the data. And our president and chief marketing officer said, no, we're going to do it. This is great. Consumers are going to love it. When our data said no, we lost $11 million. It was a great idea. Think about what that could do for Asbury University. So let's take that to you, because it's just surreal being up here thinking about how 25 years has passed. But you have to find the truth. And I'm here to tell you, most of the media, as Hal points out, and most of the things that people will try to influence you into are probably not true. And so as you live your life, and I've made tons of mistakes. My wife and my son, who are down front, will surely attest. I've made lots of mistakes in life because I haven't paid attention to the truth. And the truth is one single source. We all have them, and he's living, and we know. And so measure everything you hear, read, absorb. I said to somebody yesterday, I was holding up my iPhone. I mean, it's just absolutely amazing. I still had a rotary phone when I was at Asbury College. We didn't know even what push-button phones were. And that was 25 years ago. The information that you have access to today is absolutely, in my opinion, it's overload. So you have to make sure that you have a measure of how you find the truth.
Can I just speak on truth real quick? So, you know, one of the things that's interesting about spending so much time in China is that everyone lies. The media lies, the people you do business with lie, everyone lies. It is so ingrained into them. Business people are measured on how successful they are based upon, were they able to lie to you, did you buy the lie, and did they make money from it? I mean, that's their measure. So it's really brought to light just how much you have to approach things with that idea of seeking the truth at all times, regardless of what you're being told, even from credible sources. And so I think that that's true, just to prayerfully enter, you know, your day and meetings and to go back and pray and ponder on it again is so critical.
That's great. Thank you. And the truth is that our time is about up, and we could continue to talk all day. I really appreciate the insights that you've given us, and I know that you all will want to thank her. So we will need to conclude now, and we will pray and dismiss us in prayer and go forth in this day and this next week and have some fun next week. Rest. Here's part of my order. Rest, relaxation, laughter, fun. Come back next Monday ready to hit it hard. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you are truth. We don't have to be out seeking other sources, but you yourself are the truth. And we pray for you to rise up within us, Lord, to rise up and that your truth would shine forth in this day and in the days ahead. So thank you, Lord, that we take comfort and rest even in knowing that that's who you are. Thank you, Jesus, that you are our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that we lean upon you, we draw our energy from you, we place our confidence in you, and we are hopeful for the days ahead because we walk this journey with you. We pray this all, Jesus, in your wonderful name. Amen.